Let me just do this right now. We're coming back with Dr. Sims. I think this is
perfect. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all.
This is the Boomerang Radio Show. On the bus.
Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now.
We're back on the Boomerang Radio Show. You hanging out with me, Dr. Cecilia Sims, and Mike Ward. And tonight, we decided, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, I apologize because I told you guys we would talk about child sex trafficking, corrupt preachers, and a whole bunch of other stuff that I list. And if you listen to me often, Dr. Sims, I don't want to call it a bait and switch.
Okay, call it what you want to.
No, you already know.
No,
you know. Ann is in here. Dr. Demery is in here. Okay, Danny Tisdale is in here. And before you came on, I told Mike, I says, okay. Or I was thinking about it. I don't remember saying it, that, hey, we're going to switch up all these other topics. Dr. Sims, sometimes I turn on the TV and often, more than not here lately, I stop turning on CNN, MSNBC. I definitely don't listen to Fox at all. No, I can't do it. And I used to do this over the last several years. When I wake up, the first thing I turn on, I used to turn on were those news programs. And they are so depressing. When I have to turn on and see, I don't care. Let's go to Israel right now. What's happening there? And the Palestinians. Okay. Hamas took over or started ruling because it's a fascist group that really has really taken over the government, you know, in Palestine. Mm-hmm. You have innocent Palestinian people there, okay? There's no need to be bombing hospitals. You got people in the streets denying them food and water. Okay. And conversely, the captives or prisoners that Hamas or people that Hamas are holding hostage. You still have over 100-some-odd Israeli citizens that's been there over 90-some-odd days. And my prayers go out to them too. You know? And to deny humanitarian relief to anyone, it is atrocious. And look at all the other things, the infighting that's going on in this country, the wars that's going on around the world. And the brain can only take so much of this. And so I decided to take a step back and stop looking at all these shows, Mike and Dr. Sims, each and every day because they are depressing. And some of the things, I wasn't going to talk about that tonight, but some of the other things we were going to talk about, like corrupt politicians, corrupt preachers. But we did talk about that clown that blamed Jesus for him conning his congregation out over $3 million. But guess what? In the meantime, now, the strange thing about that was, and I'm switching back and forth here. The strange thing about that is that he said that God told him to tell his congregation to invest in this crypto. Okay. And then he comes back and says, was God wrong or did I not hear what God told me?
Shoot, how would they know?
It is absolutely ridiculous. I had it up here somewhere. But anyway, I'm not going
to
get it.
While you're trying to find that, can I jump in there when you were asking?
Jump in, please.
The question, as to why. People are being exploited every day. We know what that is, okay? And what about the spirit of deception? And I remember I read that, but I just want to read it, a type of social influence that aims to change the behavior or perception of others through abusive deception and underhanded tactics. And this is what's going on, even with the gentleman who stressed that God said, my thing is, what God are you talking about? There's many on this earth. So, and there's only one true and living God. So nobody questions them in that way. I would. Okay. Who told you what? Now, he never told me to put my money in nothing, crypted nothing. Okay. But come see, on. Everybody is not like that. You learn through trial and error. What was I always this way? No, I was fooled some of the times until I learned. Mm-hmm. But when are people going to wake up? Because, it's not, don't fall for the hype. And I know y'all understand what I'm saying about that. Don't always fall for the hype. Look into the person and ask questions. And 9 times out of 10, they don't want to answer those questions. And things is not going to come off as what is this? My saying is all things that is, as it appears is not as it seems. And as it seems, it's not as it appears. Now, I wrote a couple things down, about deception. That word deception is cruel to the grave, and that it could cause people to abuse each other emotionally, socially, financially, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And deception is used. And listen, let me tell you something, folks. Babies learn how to deceive from the cradle. I'm going to tell you why I know this. It's learned behavior.
Crying, everything, yeah.
Yes, it's a learned behavior. I have 3 children of my own. They were fine, fat, full, and dry. But they needed mama to come running, okay? And they knew I would. So what happened before I learned as a young mother what they were doing to me, okay? I'm in there cooking dinner, and they're screaming and hollering. I'm thinking there was something wrong. As soon as I get in there, they go to smiling and grinning. And I'm like, if you don't go to sleep, you know, that worked the first
manipulating
time.
Manipulating you. They're brainwashing
you. Yes, they
you.
Were manipulating.
They're training you like Pavlov's dog. They're training you to salivate.
So yeah.
That's something they did not learn, but they put it to the test first. It was in them to put it to the test. And I'm going somewhere with this. And when they did it, they were looking to see if I was coming, listening. And when I got there, they were like cooing and laughing. And I'm like, if you don't go to sleep, well, it worked the first time. So why not do it again? Okay.
Oh, so it doesn't take them long.
No, did it again, cooing and laughing and what have you. And did it the third time. I'm their mama. I tapped them on the leg. Yes, I did. And told them, if you don't go to sleep and stop that, they turned over and went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because they learned the trick of, that was the first stages of learning to manipulate.
That's right.
Now, let's get to the adulthood.
You had to tap the reset button.
Okay. Hey, yes, Dr. Sims, before you go to the adulthood, let me just share something with you.
Okay.
But you did something that was vitally important.
I gave him a response. They did.
You stopped it before it festered.
Exactly.
Some parents.
I didn't stop it. I just curtailed it a little bit.
What I'm about to say, Dr. Sims and Mike, some parents don't know how to parent because they don't stop it. And if you don't stop it, okay. I had another clip I was trying to play. I'm not going to do it right now. But it was this little white girl. She couldn't have been more than four years old. And her mom took her to a doll store to buy a doll. Now, check this out. This is deep. The little white girl picked out a black doll. That's what she wanted. When she got up to the counter, the cashier questioned the girl, are you sure this is what you want? Think about what I'm saying. Let that resonate for a second. The cashier, whose job is to ring up what is presented on a doggone counter.
It's not to make a judgment call.
The cashier. That bought. And the little girl said, yes. The cashier, you sure? The moms had to step in. And thank God for this type of parenting. That's what my daughter wants. That's what we're buying. Ring it up. So you see the mentality we're talking about. What type of person is that cashier?
But William, that was a subtle way of mind manipulating, because you have to understand.
And no, what I'm saying is that I'm talking about the mentality, not the little, the mother and daughter. I'm talking about the cashier.
Yes, that was a subtle way of mind manipulation. That's how people learned.
The cashier was a racist. I'm going to tell you right now.
Well, I already know. I was going
there
with you.
But that cashier learned it from somebody.
That's exactly right.
So she passed it on. That's what I'm saying.
Come on. Continue, please. Please continue.
Behavior. They see the outcome of it. I looked up something because I wanted to get the total definition of this. What does it mean to mentally manipulate? Manipulation is an exercise of harmful influences over others. People who manipulate others attack their mental and emotional sides to get what they want. She wanted to get the results that she herself had learned. So therefore, it only takes a seed to be planted, folks, into somebody for it to fester. A little seed. And guess what? There's somebody's going to make sure it comes back. Somebody's going to come by and water it and add more to it to increase the manipulation, the deception. To cause the person to have bitterness, to somebody that she does not even affiliated with, doesn't even know their character. But then too, that leads into somebody hating somebody that they don't even know. So it has to be a seed. It has to be watered. Then it gives an increase. Then you have somebody just comes up from the rear and exacerbate the hate. Okay. And so that's the abuse part of it. That's exploiting the child. All right. To the point where she believes what they say because she doesn't know any better, because she doesn't learn. And I think go ahead.
Sorry. I would add to that. I bet you if you went back and asked that cashier would tell you, I thought I was doing the right thing.
Yes.
The racism side didn't even come into it. She thought that she was helping, but she was not helping. She was actually hurting.
Right.
She was perpetuating the racism that occurs in all around the world, not just our country. But
right.
I'll bet you dollars to donuts, if you could ask that cat, who's doing the right thing? I'll bet you.
You know, William said something about people who are so educated. And I was listening to a documentary. This man was saying, he said, with all of that knowledge, but yet you don't know how to apply that wisdom. Does that make sense? And so you got all of this book knowledge, but your stupidity will not allow you to use it properly. And I thought that is so profound to me, because people, they can read. They can gravitate towards all this wisdom just to brag and say, I read this book, that book, that. But that doesn't make you smart, okay?
It's you how apply you. It.
Yes, it's how you apply it and apply it with wisdom, that it will not become harmful to anyone. Because in some of those books, you should have learned something, the ills of life, and not what to project on other people. I think this world would be such a better place if people would get their mental stability right, okay? Thus causing their emotional effect to be not the negative, but the positive. Not to harm, but to do good. But see, but we have people, and Mike, you said something. The house is divided. The White House, they are so hypocritical. They're hypocrites. A lot of them, the majority of them, are hypocrites. They don't practice what they preach. Their lifestyle on secrecy is not good. So how can you, with your full of your abusive, manipulative self, to me, run a country effectively? And then too, you're at odds with each other because you're so busy exploiting each other, trying to make yourself look better than, instead of working together.
And these politicians, they all stand on their soapboxes and expound on how they're going to be transparent. Transparent is everything. Oh, I'm going to be honest, and everything I do is going to be upfront, and we're going to disclose everything to the American people.
Right.
What a bunch of hogwash. There, I cleaned it up for you, Dr. Sim. But,
glad.
I mean, seriously, I mean, on both sides, and I've said it over and over here on this program, politicians are liars, cheats, thieves, and whores, and they will do and say whatever. They'll tap dance on their soapbox to get you to believe in me, I will set you free. And they're doing anything, they're doing none of that at all. All they're doing is bolstering their own position, and their number one reason for doing and saying what they do is to get reelected, because this world is run on money, power, and fame, which again, I know you guys are probably tired of me saying it, but it's money, power, and fame. And they will do anything to get one or all three of those items. So it's self-perpetuating.
They're working on people's emotion. That's abusive. That is abusive. That is a type of abuse, any way you look at it.
Because they're giving people false hope.
Yeah, that's the key. False hope. People are looking for change. They want change. They want a better life. They want to be cohesive with their neighbor, regardless of the color of their skin. Okay, and you get some, we're going to be so together and this, that, and the other. And then, too, when they say about being transparent, you said something. They're not transparent because they didn't tell you about their illegal doings. Okay, if they were so transparent and tell people they're sorry, they're not going to do that. And some of them are still involved with some illegal activities. But we have people, and I don't know if you agree with this, Mike, but you have people who don't want to stand alone. They want to be a part of something.
They want to be part of the winning side, which is what I said earlier. Everyone wants to belong to the winning team. That's why when you watch football or baseball or basketball, who are they rooting for? They're rooting for the team they think is going to win.
Exactly.
And that's why they align themselves with that thought or the powers that be.
Right.
And you know, amazing, guys. I'm back. I'm going to just take this time.
We didn't know you were gone.
Oh, okay. I figured that. Okay. Because, you know, you two loud mouths, I understand. Yeah.
Okay. Why do I have to be put in the equation? I wasn't bothered. You said something. Who's a loud mouth? Really, dude?
Both of you are loud mouths.
That's whatever, what, bro.
Don't you know I love loud mouths on this program?
That's why it's a talk show. I'm not a loud mouth.
What do you call yourself?
I am a person who stresses my opinion verbally, and I'm not a loud. If I was a loud mouth, you would hear me on the next corner. Now.
The only reason why I can't hear you on the next corner is because I'm 2,500 miles away. That's the only.
I don't like you right now.
I love you. No. And look, and speaking of love, wow, I've got to stop and share this with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been featured on a major magazine. The Southern Soul Music Magazine, produced by JoJo. And thank you so much. Guys, I invite you to go on our Facebook page, Studio W_Buzz. You can see the article, and it's been absolutely fantastic. And it showcases what we do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it is absolutely phenomenal. And I've had many of our followers to share that article. And I invite you to go to Studio W_Buzz and check out the article, the recent article in the Southern Soul Music Magazine. Ladies and gentlemen, as a matter of fact, let me go on and get you the entire thing right now.
They can also probably check out that magazine online if I had to guess in these days. Everything's online. So if you probably type in Southern Soul Magazine, they'll give you a link and you can go and you probably read all their articles, not just the one that has Studio W in it, which because they were so good to allow Studio W in there, we should promote their product as well.
And we will. As a matter of fact, the owner of the magazine, his wife is a brilliant, brilliant artist. I tell you what, since we're doing some music and stuff like that, why don't I go and honor them the way they have honored us? That's Industry Joe Magazine, hashtag, or not even hashtag, and also the Southern Soul Music Magazine, and they have honored us for what we do. And I've gotten so many great compliments for what we do around the globe. So why don't I do this real quick, and we will come back, because I think that we're talking about music, but all of these things are intertwined so much. Like you take religion, politics, advertising, including sports, whatever it is, or movies, TV programs. All of those things, if you notice, the intro is music, isn't it? Preaching, we talked about that, is music. I want you to make and connect the dots because a lot of this is programming, Dr. Sims. You know this. Programming. Mm-hmm. You take a horror show, which I refuse to watch. I do not watch horror shows. People ask me, have you ever seen Exodus? No. Jason, or what is it, mm-hmm. Friday the 13th or whatever it is? No. I don't watch that. Mike, I and Dr. Sims, I'm a firm believer. What you put in your brain, it's going to manifest itself some way, somehow. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong, Dr. Sims?
No, you're not wrong, because it's designed to cause fear.
Oh, my God.
And that's another type of manipulation, and it's also an abuse.
It is an abuse.
Have you ever heard the word subterfuge? Have you ever heard
that word? I have heard that word. Break it down for me.
Let me break it down, because that struck me. Subterfuge means something intended to misrepresent the true nature of an activity. The company hold, just like say, another dialogue, he wasn't sick. It was just the subterfuge. In other words, he intended to misrepresent what he disclosed, like somebody calling the school or their job. I'm sick, but in actuality, they're not. So that's how it's used. Manipulation, that's psychology. In psychology, manipulation is defined as subterfuge, meaning that it's used to misrepresent and it's designed to influence and or control another, usually in a manner which facilitates one's personal aims. And so this is what that is. And a lot of that stuff is going on today, folks. It is what it is. You've been bamboozled in a lot of areas in your life. You've been lied to in a lot of areas of your life. You've had and rules and regulations handed to you that were not conducive to one's life, that hindered people's lives in progressing. Not all of it now, but I'm saying a whole heck of a lot of, well, my mama did it that way. Now, hear me well. My daddy did it that way, so I'm going to do it this way. Well, wait a minute. Because they intended an expected end, which they got the result of that expected end. But that didn't mean it was right. Okay?
That's right.
But all these book
wizards. How about all the different interpretations of the Bible?
Boom.
Oh, come on.
That's how about all the different, how about all the different interpretations of the Bible? And picking and choosing. And cherry picking what you want to put forth.
Yeah. What about all the gods that are walking around? We got one devil. I said, there's so many gods. We got so many gods. Come on now. And one devil, y'all. I question that. Wouldn't you question it? Okay. So
all
these religions, okay, and we're all going to the same place.
But you know what? Dr. Sims, what you said, we need to put a pin in that.
Yes, sir.
All these gods and one devil.
One devil. And some of them gods you use for burning wood.
That's why there's, that's why there's a highway to hell and only a stairway to heaven.
Sure, you're right.
Because of anticipated traffic.
You know what?
But you know what, William and Mike?
They got a five-lane highway.
You know what? William and Mike, hell was not for us. But it has enlarged itself because of the wickedness. And what people want to believe. And they want something tangible. There's in the Bible, in the scripture, and I'd say it is written that, and the Lord was addressing this, you make an idol out of a cedar tree. You carve it and you shave it. And I'm using my imagination now, but it's true word. And you carve it and you shave it and you do it into an image. Okay. Then you have the remnants from that cedar tree that you take and you put it over a fire. Okay. That thing, same thing, supposed to be a god now. Okay. Ooh. You put the remnants of that god into a fire and you cook over it and you use it to keep you warm. But yet that god that you made, you have, it can't walk by itself. It can't move by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It don't have ears. It can't hear.
Oh, you froze.
You got to carry it around with you. No. Yeah. Am I back?
Did
I
You're back. Freeze? You're back.
Okay. You gotta put it in your backpack. You got to carry it around with you. You got to put it on the nightstand. Who want to serve a God like that that can't help you? He can't help himself, okay? If people would look at things, people would just look at things and stop being stuck on stupid on purpose, period.
Mm.
If he's not helping you, it's the mind manipulation again.
Mm. You know what I like what you said? You said stuck on stupid on purpose.
On purpose. Indeed. What? And I'll stand on that.
What? Okay. Let's honor.
Because it's the comfort zone. People get in their comfort zone and they don't want to drag themselves out of that comfort zone because it's what they know. It's all they know sometimes. And they just have no drive or in their heads, they don't have a reason to change from the rut that they're in. And I go back to something that, Dr. Sims has given me a little bit of credit for is we live in an ostrich society where you plant your head in the sand and if I can't see it, it can't hurt me. Well, guess what? It can.
Right.
Hey, Dr. Can I just say this one last line? And this is wrapping up what I just said.
Go on.
They want to serve a God that don't require much.
Wow.
And that is profound. I don't have to bow down. I don't have to do anything, but I'll just carry it around and act like it's helping me. But in essence, that my manipulation, you're abusing yourselves by believing a lie.
Absolutely. Hey, Dr. Sims, I think you have a new fan out there in Maui. She said,
I do.
She said, hoodoo is a term that she uses to describe voodoo type of behavior.
Exactly. Yep.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You do that so well.
I'm absolutely loving this broadcast. Hey, Mike, I know you said something smart. I know you did. But anyway.
No, he didn't. He was rhyming. He was getting his rap on.
Who do that voodoo you do so well?
He was getting his rap on.
You getting your rap on, Mike? Okay. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Okay, you got
to
put it.
Not easy for this white boy to do.
Hey, look here. Hey, go on. Hey, Mike, I tell you what. Just go on and put some music behind it. Yeah, you the brand new Vanilla Ice. How about that?
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
This is Sedasia. Hey guys, check this out.
Imagine you, imagine me, imagine us. Could it be? But I see we're two worlds apart. A dead end sign that leaves a broken heart.
Sedasia, Invisible. Yes. And we've had the pleasure, Dr. Sims and Mike, of having this artist on our network, on the Cultural Excellence Network.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, she is the wife of the publisher of Industry Joe, the Southern Soul magazine, music magazine. Just a beautiful, beautiful voice. If you listen to the lyrics, she said, I'm no longer invisible.
Yeah.
Mike, you often say sometimes, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, that even what could be interpreted as a sad song can relate to some people because they may be going through the same things. And I know I'm paraphrasing, you know. I love the blues.
Well, I don't know.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff. Well, look at country music. I did a celebration of life for a good friend of mine. His wife, Barbara, said, "Would you do this for me, Mike? The music and the sound." And I said, "Absolutely." I go, "What do you want to hear music wise?" She goes, "He loved country. Frank was his name, and he just adored country. Can you put together like a playlist of country?" "Sure, absolutely," I said without even thinking. Do you know how long it took me to put together a playlist of country music that wasn't sad?
Right.
Because everybody, your dog died, your truck blew up, your wife left for another woman. It took me 2 weeks. It took me 2 weeks to put together that playlist. So I've got a playlist that's 3 hours long. That's actually good, uplifting country music.
Oh man, that's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. And you're right.
What was your original question, William?
I forgot now. No, I forgot.
Oh, the uplifting side of music. Well, because
Mike.
You're playing sad.
No, what I was saying is,
drunk suicide.
Yeah, we got a little delay here.
It's called drunk suicidal music, is what I call it, and it's depressing and all. But sometimes that misery needs company. Mm. And if you, we're going back to belonging to something once again. We want to belong to a group. So if you know that you're not the only one out there in this world that's going through trauma and troubles and tribulations, somehow that you feel part of that group, and it can help you get through it because you know you're not alone. Mm. And that's what our churches and our pastors and our preachers and our deacons should all be moving towards, is helping people get through the troubling times in society and not demanding that they buy their way into heaven and out of hell.
Mm.
That's what I believe good religion is loving your fellow man and to help each other get through things. And that's, decent religions don't preach hate. Mm. They preach love. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think so at all, Mike. I really don't think so. I'm going to toss it over to Dr. Sims because I want her to handle this part of it because it is all psychological. And what happens, Mike, is that these bad religions, and see, okay, I'm just going to say this. Some may get mad with me or not. I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person because I think that you take religion. We've got so many different religions. Like Dr. Sims, you said, we've got these devils in one.
No, one devil.
One devil and all these gods, right?
Right, right.
And so within these religions, you got all these devils that are manifesting themselves into these religions. Yes, I go to a Baptist church or I went to a Baptist church or when I go to a Baptist church, okay? Then you have some people that are, they say they're believers in gods too. They go to a Catholic church, okay? Or you have people that are Protestant, Presbyterians, or whatever it is, and they say they all believe in God. Why don't we eliminate all of this? If you believe in God, you believe in God. Why do you need to have these different sects and of different religions to believe in God?
Let me throw you a real curveball. Does that mean that the Buddhists, which is not a Christian religion, but if you believe in Buddhism, which is once again, they preach good versus evil. And I think that the good pastors and the good churches out there, they preach good versus evil. So you're going to tell me that everybody in this world, which there's a huge segment of Buddhists in this world, you're going to tell me that they're not qualified and they're not good enough to make it into whatever heaven that exists?
I'm going to let Dr. Sims answer that.
I need to answer this question. I need to answer this question.
Yes.
And I'm not a know-it-all, but I do know some things, okay? First off, religion is a practice, okay?
Come on.
Relationship is totally different. People get on the tip of their tongue, I'm religious, religious. Well, the Pharisees and Sadducees was religious, but they were ignorant to the law, even though they knew the law, and did not walk that they taught, okay? And the Lord says in the Word of God, except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. He said, you will in no case get into the kingdom of heaven. So there's a whole lot of people in that no case arena, okay, because of their practices today. Religious is a constant practice. Now, like I said, relationship is something totally separate. But when you're talking about all of the religions, I was looking at this again, manipulation and control. We cannot get away from this. Another terminology is society pursuit. Now listen, society out there, everybody wearing a cross, right? But they're doing demonic things. They're doing occultist things, but they all love God, right? Well, my question would be, which God, which idol are you serving? Which I already know what it is. So my thing is that we're always talking about, many are talking about the expected end. We're all going to heaven. We're not all going to the same place, y'all. There's not going to be no hookerville. Can I be real? Okay. There's not going to be no, drug selling on the corner. And there's not going to be no gambling. Okay. No drinking, no rodeos. I'm going to go here with you, Mike. There's not going to be no, nightclubs.
Rodeo.
There's not going to be no homies on the corner. Okay. No lounges, no prostitution lounges as people are depicting. That is going to be, because there is a requirement. Your relationship with the one and only King of Kings and Lord of Lords will tell you exactly what he's looking for. But here's the thing, manipulating of the mind. When I did a series on the spirit of deception, the picture that I had was so gruesome, that I wanted people to understand what they're dealing with. He had blood fangs coming out of his teeth. His face was horrible. Looked like something out of a horror show, but yet he would dress it up and he would look very handsome, or he would look like she had a Coke bottle shape. Okay. Anything
deception.
To get your attention. Yes. To deceive you. And so manipulation of the mind, in the society, Dr. Bathrop, I believe I'm not saying it right. He wrote in his 2004 edition, he says, society pursuits of perfection entails treating whatever is not desirable, whether it be bad or aggression or et cetera, et cetera. So what they're trying to do is, and this goes back to people being so controlled, it could even look like in the church, like it's all good, but you have an occult sitting right there in churches. Okay. Does that make sense? Where you have people that is so focused on what this charlatan who is not walking authentically with God. And because I can say that because his lifestyle is judging for him. I dare not judge because the Bible tells me not to, but his life is judging him because he's walking so contrary to what God is requiring. And so God is not confused. I tell all people he's not confused. And then too, here's the deal where people, like I said, there's so many religions. Now, I'm not saying those that don't preach hate, they could be right on the right track, and that's fine because God is a God of love. Yes, do treat love, but they're bowing down to an idol. The Lord said, thou shalt have no other God before me. He said, worship no other God before me. So anything that you put in front of him, then you're worshiping another God. You're worshiping a statue, okay? That God is the only one who can answer prayers. These things can't move, but I don't want to get nobody, you know, cussing me out because I know they probably already cussing me out. But anyway, it is fact.
You're fine.
And when you hear me talk like that, I had to come to the knowledge of the truth. How did I do that? I had to study. I had to get in the face of God. I had to ask him. Okay. There's another book I want to speak in my ear, and I'm being real with this. To cause deception and me not to believe what I authentically read. Okay. And he brings confusion of the mind. And that's why I believe that there's so many people are led over here or led over there or led over here. They're in a world of confusion because the master manipulator is the cause of all of the dissension. In the beginning, it was just one God, okay? And because the children of Israel, and I, this is really deeper than I can go into, but I will say this. The children of Israel, when they were delivered out of Egypt, guess what? They bought the appetites of Egypt with them that caused them to make the golden calf to worship. And they've been worshiping idols ever since. They wanted man up there. They wanted to see something tangible. When I wish the Lord would let me follow me with a cloud fire by night and a cloud by day, okay, that would have been a blessing. I mean, it's still a blessing because he protects me. But I mean, they had it all. They were getting manna from heaven, but they still were complacent because their flesh desired the thing that they left. They were manipulated by.
Got a and question.
That's emotional manipulation. Yes, sir.
Got a question, Dr. Sims.
Yeah.
And while you were speaking, one word just stood out to me, and that is greed. Okay. I'm just saying. And you guys
are. That's where people are led away through the lust of their flesh because they see everybody else prospering. And that was designed for that to happen. Let me tell you, Satan knows the taste of your flesh. He knows what turns you on. He knows what turns you off. And that's why I say y'all playing the brother too cheap because he know what he's doing. Okay. And he's very consistent. He presents it to you. Me, I raise a poor girl. But if I was blessed with a whole lot of money, I don't know how I would act. But if I told the Lord, I says, no, Lord, just bless me with just enough because I don't want that to be my method of moving away from you because that's going to prohibit me from seeing the Lord in peace. So I know my situation. I think if everybody would say that now, am I going to refuse the blessing of God? In the process, while that blessing is going to overtake me, I am learning how to stabilize myself, if that makes sense. And I'm stabilizing myself in the things of God. So not to allow the money to be the root of evil of my demise, to manipulate my mind, to make me think that I don't need God now. My bank account is fat. Okay. But I am conscious of the fact that banks could go under. My money could be gone. You hear what I'm saying? Then I'm out. Then who am I going to trust in? I can't trust in the money. I can't trust in people. The one that I can trust in is the one that keeps my account fat is God.
Isn't that something? Yeah, now, before I go to Mike, you just answered a question that I had. And that is, let's say the three of us, we're billionaires.
Okay.
And we are comfortable. Now, when we come from the airport and we're driving through certain, you know, limousine take us through certain neighborhoods. We see people on the side there. I mean, homeless people and things of that nature. And, we really don't have any empathy for them. Now, something struck me, several, decades ago. And a friend of mine and we were friends. And he said, and I don't know how it came up. Oh, there were some homeless people out there begging for money and stuff like that. And he said, I would never give a homeless person anything because its chances are that they had whatever they had and they got hung up on drugs or whatever it is. And I said to him, I said, you don't know what their situation was. You really don't. Mm-mm. Okay. And think about this. That could have been a veteran. And believe it or not, folks, which I've never been in the military, but I have several family members. I have a cousin, first cousin, that is a retired colonel, full bird colonel. I have a brother that was a master sergeant, 23 years in the Air Force. I have three brothers that served in the Army. I have my darling granddaughter right now is in the Army. So, you know, I'm a little nervous about that. I have my brother's son that is a captain in the military that was deployed over in, at one time, he was over in South Korea, you know, no telling with all the turmoil that's going on in this world right now, where my granddaughter will be deployed.
Wow.
Okay. And thinking back to the wars and the subjugation that our military has gone through. And a lot of them came back with some form of mental illness, Dr. Sims.
Of course.
Okay. Where they became non-functional.
Mm-hmm.
They lost their homes.
Trauma.
They lost everything. They ended up homeless. Okay? It could have been a whole bunch of things. It doesn't necessarily have to be because this person got hung up on drugs or whatever it is. Sometimes life blows, it lends a blow to undeserving people.
I blame that on the government. I am going to blame it. Put the blame where it lies.
Go ahead.
Because it starts from Vietnam that I'm most familiar with. Those men came back. They had nothing to really talk about. They were left.
And they were shunned by society.
Yes. And they were ambushed by society. So they were hated. Now you got people coming back from wars and things like that. And a lot of them are on the street. That is the fault of our government that they should be seen to.
My thing is
this, we got this foolishness right here in the United States. It's a big, big factor. It hurts my heart to know that they went and fought for me. Okay. And I take it personal. They fought for me. They stood in the gap for me only to come back. Their controllers. Okay. That sent them over there did not care enough for them to lay out the carpet for them for fighting for this United States. I am appalled. I'm appalled. And you know what? And nobody in the White House basically will not take accountability for their behavior and treatment of those who have come back from war, let alone those who are in the streets, not just the military. I found a scripture that coincides with feeding the hungry and the poor.
Ooh.
And folks, in case you don't know what's in here.
Do you have it?
Matthew. Yes, I do. Matthew's 25th verse, verse 35 to 37. Here, the disciples were talking to Jesus. And Jesus linked feeding in the word of God. It links feeding the hungry to ministering to him. So what you do for the poor, you're giving gratification to God. So like you're ministering to him. He said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And they were saying, how did I give you drink? I mean, you're not here. How did I give you food? He said, when you did it for the least, you did it unto myself. And that is reflective of love. And when you deny the needy out there, when you look past those who fought a sovereign war for this state, and who laid down their lives. Their families are not tended to. You're looking at them like, oh, they're poison. Oh, well, you know, how dare you? You gonna reap what you sow, folks. It is what it is. It just haven't come to your house yet. But I'm not threatening anybody. But it is written in the sovereign word of God. And you can't take away. Brother King James couldn't take it out, even though he plopped his name on the Bible. That's another lesson, okay, that I would teach. He was a renegade. Putting his name on a holy book. Y'all get me twisted because I am so sick of people. Stop laughing.
Isn't that funny?
Taking credit of God's goodness and putting their name on stuff. Okay.
Come on.
And know that they haven't did a thing. But my thing is this. I really believe that every day that we wake up, folks, that God has given us another chance to get it right. We've got to get our own self and our own theories out of the way. Because this nation, once upon a time, was run based on the word of God. But now you done turned over to Babylon. Babylon, look in the word of God, and Babylon suffered at the deeds that they are doing and have done. So we got to get back on the good foot. No, you can't stay stuck on stupid on purpose so much you don't know. You know.
That's right. And you know what? We're almost out of time, so I'm going to go to Mike real quick, because Mike's dad and Mike's mom, and Mike and I, he talked about his mom and dad all the time. And I know he loved his mom and dad and respected them. And Mike's dad was Colonel Ward. Am I right, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Colonel Ward.
Colonel Ward is a dad and artillery mom.
That's right. But check this out, though, Mike.
My mother was.
No, what I was going to say, Mike, real quick, is that.
No, go.
Your dad fought for this country, and I believe
our freedom,
that he will be appalled at how the veterans are being treated. Am I off base?
Oh no, not at all. And again, both my parents fought, because my mother was with Her Majesty's Royal Service out of Great Britain, and she actually fought with an artillery crew.
Wow.
So the not all the women in Great Britain were just support personnel. A lot of them fought, and my mother was one of those. Mom was an artillery person, and Dad was a colonel in the U.S. American Army. And they both fought for our freedoms around the world, not just in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So I have nothing but great respect for both of them, and they were both very involved in the community, which is, I think, where I got my drive to help others that I don't even know. Because that's what my parents did. And again, I was that sponge I talk about. I absorbed what was around me. I absorbed the good in my parents. And in my life, I've tried to replicate that. And I think I've done a pretty good job. I think my parents would both be proud of what I've done throughout my life. So, yeah, God bless I was a very, very lucky. Maybe I would go to the point of even entitled to some degree, because I had two great parents that loved each other till they started dying, and raised a bunch of kids that, well, three of us anyway. And at least two of us have done well. I've got kind of a nut job sister that falls into Dr. Sims's category, where she's very smart. She's very book learned, straight A student, valedictorian, honor roll, 8 years of college, reads and writes music, speaks three languages, and this woman cannot put gas in her gas tank or put air in her tires or turn a friggin' doorknob. She believes that there's checks in the checkbook, so there must be money in the account, right? So she can't have a credit card. She can't have a checkbook.
Oh, no.
Because she doesn't understand. Like you said, Dr. Sims, she's book learned, but she has no ability to apply
wisdom,
the book,
yes,
learning.
She
can't make that jump from one side of the fence to the other with, oh, okay, I learned this. Oh, well, then this is how I can apply it and make my life better. And she's not evil, but she just completely lacks common sense.
Wow.
And thankfully, my brother and I think we both do pretty well with the common sense side of things.
Yes, you do.
So a lot of what we're talking about today, and I know you want to close down here, William, but a lot of what we've talked about today is the battling of good versus evil, which I like to go back to because it grounds me. And why is it that we can't, as human beings, get along? Why do we have man's inhumanity to man, where we have to stand on the necks of our brothers to make us feel good about ourselves?
Right.
That is just wrong, and again, that's just evil. There's a reason. If you ever go to a bar, which I'm not sure all of you do or not, but if you go to a bar, there's two forbidden things in the unwritten rule. Two forbidden things to talk about in a bar. One is religion and one is politics. If you start talking about religion and politics in a bar, the bartender will chin check you at least once and go, hey, no politics or religion in the bar. They'll chin check you once. And if you do it again, they go, you're out.
You gotta go.
Because those two items,
wow,
are so polarized.
Yeah, you can get killed behind that.
I mean, you start getting pool sticks broken over your head and bottles broken over your head.
Wow.
The pretenders will chin check you real quick when you start doing those things. Why is it that it's so hard for us to take off our blinders, take off our earmuffs, and listen and look and see maybe the reality, instead of just buying into, I want to be part of this group because I think they're winners? That's very shallow. And as a human race, we need to do better. We can do better, and we need to do better. And then I do want to comment on that one song that you played where the girl was talking about the glass, I think being half empty or half full.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what she was saying. Well, here's my perspective on that, and I'll leave you with this. Dr. Sims, thank you, not Dr. William, but Wild Will. I'll leave you with this. I don't care if the glass is half full or the glass is half empty, because I can refill it.
Whoa.
That's deep. Dr. Sims and Mike, like I said, the program we just had wasn't the program that was planned. But I leave it up to you two. No, I'm just joking.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear that.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed this because this gave me an idea. We need to have a part two of this discussion because Dr. Sims and Mike, you guys know, when we're on to something, and my sister Ann, darling, I hope you're listening. Please recover soon. We wish nothing but the best for you because Ann is an amazing, amazing person.
Yes, yes.
Just an amazing person. Genuine.
Yeah.
Like you, Dr. Sims, like you, Mike, Dr. Demery, Danny, Joyce Whisper Harris. And that's what I love about this panel right here. There's no showcasing here. We don't believe in false doctrine. We don't believe in false anything. And if you're a guest on this show, if we ever invite you on this show, and you come up with some fake stuff, we kicking you off. I'm telling you right now. Okay. But anyway, that's a whole other thing.
throwing you out of the bar.
Hey, yeah, you're getting out. No. You're gone. You're gone. Hey, Mike, not after the second time, the first time. Okay. Go. Dr. Sim.
Usually bartenders will give you one shot.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Miss CeCe's Kitchen airs.
Yes. On Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As you know, I know you all, we are doing something a little bit different and God is blessing what we're doing. But right now we are addressing, telling people to use their voices. The question I pose to media,
right.
You have a voice. Why aren't you using it? And right. Stop being silenced, because silence doesn't get you done. But here's one thing I do want to leave media land. You keep hanging with this girl, I'm going to love you back to hell, period.
All right. And Mike, Mad Mike, Wild Will, Coast to Coast, great show. I hope that the audience enjoys it as much as we do. And we air when?
It'll be Thursdays, depending on your time zone in the United States. We start at 5 on the West Coast, and we start at 8 on the East Coast. And if you're in the middle, do the math on your own. We have a good time. We really do have a blast doing it. William and I learn a great deal every week because we put together our song list, and William brilliantly dovetails them together as a producer, and he sits in his big chair and he pushes his buttons.
All I do, Mike, is push the buttons, okay?
Push the buttons, Mike.
Yeah, well, guess what?
Sometimes you're pushing other buttons, if you know what I mean.
He do that all the time.
I love
pushing their buttons.
Over.
I know. I'm doing my job. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, I love you. I think even though I switched up the whole topics, I threw all the other topics out of the window. But this was so important.
There's always next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And think about this. We talked about music. And think about how all of these things, how they are intertwined. Music. Religion, mm-hmm. politics, mm-hmm. TV, the media.
Yes.
Oh, God. And then next week, we're going to take all of that, and I've got a surprise for you as far as how AI Now, you guys won't be surprised, but the audience will. Mm-hmm. How AI comes into play and the dangers, the benefits. You know how it's funny in life? You've got this thing right here, and there are benefits to it. It might be the chocolate cake that you shouldn't eat, right? But the benefit is it tastes so good. The bad thing is.
You're right. Bye, William. I have like to go, William.
Hey, guys. I love you. Oh, what a wonderful show. Mike, oh, my God. Dr. Sims, guys, thank you so much. Thoroughly enjoy.